There's revelation and surety here in the apostle's words in 2 Thessalonians 2. Let me read this to you. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions, and I you don't have to answer me. You just type there in the text if you feel like answering it, and I'll read them. But I need to get through this. And afterwards, if you have any questions, you want to discuss anything, we'll do it. Okay? Listen to the words. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him. What does that mean, to be gathered to Him, our being gathered to Him? That's talking about the resurrection of those that are dead in Christ, right? 1 Thessalonians 4. When Jesus at his coming, the dead will rise first, and then we who are left alive. Right? We're going to be gathered to Him to be resurrected at His coming. So notice how it pairs these two things together. Which is another thing, by the way, that shows there is no pre-tribulation rapture. It shows that our gathering to be with Him is at His coming, His second coming. That means there's not two and a half comings. There's not a time when Jesus is going to come, go away for 7 years, and then come back. It's His second coming. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him. Both of those are two components now, and we're going to see, of the day of the Lord. Listen to this. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Now think about it. The day of the Lord then therefore concerns these two components, right? The coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to Him. Is this true or not true? The day of the Lord concerns these two components. The coming of our Lord Jesus and our being gathered to Him. So don't let anybody deceive you in any way that day has come. The day of the Lord. For that day, the day of the Lord, will not come until the rebellion occurs, the great falling away, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the Antichrist. The man doomed to destruction. Now, what is it that reveals him? And this is what we really want to talk about. What is it that reveals him? It tells you right here. Listen to it in context. Don't let anyone deceive you that the day of the Lord has already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in that, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed. The man doomed to destruction, he will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God and is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. So what reveals him? What reveals him for who he is the abomination of desolation, where he sets himself up in the temple and proclaims himself to be God. That's what reveals the Antichrist. Now, this is a real important point. Now, where did Paul get this? We know by revelation of Christ, but where? Remember, the Holy Spirit does not speak apart from the Scriptures. Where in the Scriptures did Paul get this? That we could not be gathered together with Christ to meet Him in the air, and He could not come until the man of sin was revealed. He got it from the book of Daniel. Very good, children. And let's read that to you. Let's show where he got it. All right? Let's go to Daniel chapter 8. I want you to see how we know from the Scriptures that there will be a great falling away. And it happens when the man of sin is revealed. Notice how it pairs those two things, just like it paired our being gathered to Christ and His coming. Daniel chapter 8. In the interpretation of the vision in Daniel, All right, listen to this. While I, Daniel, was watching this vision and trying to understand it, there stood before me one who looked like a man, and I heard a man's voice from the Uli calling Gabriel, tell this man the meaning of the vision. Now, it tells us that in the latter part of the reign, the media, those four horns from the goat that replaced the notable horn, in the latter part of their reign, those kingdoms, which is speaking, by the way, of Egypt and Syria, primarily, in the latter part of their reign, verse 25, the rebels will become completely wicked. Remember Paul's word, the great rebellion occurs? When rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. Now, compare these two things. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Compare it with Daniel now. In the latter part of the reign, when rebels have become completely wicked, the great rebellion occurs, a stern-faced king, a master of intrigue, will arise. The man of lawlessness is revealed. He will become very strong, but not by his own power. Revelation 13, verse 5, the devil gives him a seat, his power and great authority, right? He will cause astounding devastation and will see and succeed in whatever he does. He will destroy the mighty men and the holy people. Revelation 13, again, he's given power to make war with the saints and overcome them, right? He will cause deceit to prosper, and he will consider himself superior. 2 Thessalonians 2, he will set himself up in the temple to proclaim himself as God. When they feel secure, he'll destroy many and take a stand against the princes of princes. Yet he'll be destroyed, but not by human power. 2 Thessalonians 2, Jesus destroys him by the brightness of his coming. How many of you can see that? How many of you can see it? And before the vision is interpreted, it tells us this. Out of one of these nations came another horn, which started small but grew in power to the south and east toward the beautiful land until it reached the host of heavens and threw some of the starry hosts down to the earth. It trampled on them. It set itself up to be as great as the prince of the host. It took away the daily sacrifice from him, and the place of his sanctuary was brought low. He will set himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. The little horn of Daniel. We read you the vision and the interpretation of the vision. Does it line up as exactly what Paul was saying? Before the great day of the Lord, before we can be gathered to him, the Antichrist must be revealed. And the great rebellion, which is the great falling away. That's why it says when rebels become completely wicked. How do they become completely wicked? How does this falling away occur? Listen to what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Don't you remember when I was with you, I used to tell you these things. You know now what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work. For the one who holds it back will continue to do so till he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth, and destroyed by the splendor of his coming. Remember, he won't be destroyed by any human hand. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion, because so that they will believe the lie. What is the lie in context? That the Antichrist is God, right? So that they will believe the lie and so not be saved. So they will be condemned, all who have not believed in the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. You see how why rebels have become completely wicked? They've been given over to the great delusion because they didn't love the truth in the first place. So in that day, when rebels have become completely wicked, a stern-faced king will arise. And that day, when the great rebellion occurs, the man of sin will be revealed. And he'll take his seat in the temple and proclaim himself to be God. And a strong delusion will come upon all those who have not delighted in the truth to believe that lie. You wonder, how many have wondered, seeing in the scripture, that an Antichrist is promised? And you say to yourself, and he's got a mark, 666, and all this stuff's going to happen. Well, I'm smart enough not to receive that. I'm smart enough that if I see that happening, not to do that. Are you really? What happens if you're given over to a strong delusion because you didn't love the truth to begin with? Are you strong enough then to say no? No, you're not. That's the point I wanted to bring. You know what will reveal him now. It will be in the abomination of desolation. And his revealing is what starts the great tribulation. The abomination of desolation, according to Jesus, starts the great tribulation. The greatest tribulation this world will ever see. It says in Matthew 24:15, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken through the prophet Daniel, let the reader understand. Then flee to the mountains, because then what? Verse 21, will begin the greatest tribulation that ever was or shall be. And if those days had not been shortened, no flesh would have been saved. That's what the word says. So the abomination of desolation, according to Jesus, is what starts. The revealing of Antichrist starts the abomination of desolation, doesn't it? Where he takes himself in the temple and proclaims himself to be God. That starts the great tribulation right there. That's the marker. And at that point, you know there's about 3.5 years till Jesus returns. Because according to Daniel, that abomination of desolation happens in the middle of that final 7-year period. And so we know for a fact that from this point, right now, until Jesus comes, at any given point, there's a minimum of 7 years till he can. There goes the any moment teaching of Jesus' return. The any moment teaching of Jesus' return is associated with the pre-tribulation rapture. Well, we've already shown you the pre-tribulation rapture doesn't exist. Therefore, the any moment teaching is bull. Because Jesus cannot return, and we cannot be gathered to him until two things happen first. The great rebellion and the man of sin is revealed. And those two things can't happen until the Antichrist makes a covenant with many of the Jews. Daniel 9:27. For a 7-year period. So that means there's a minimum of 7 years at any given point before Jesus can return. That means anybody who believes he's coming back in 2011 is already deceived. And I feel sorry for anybody teaching that. But this is true. It's obvious. It's fact. This isn't an interpretation. It's fact. At any given moment, from now until that event happens, when Antichrist first comes on the scene, we have a minimum of 7 years before Jesus can return. From the time you see the Great Tribulation, we have a minimum of 3.5 years at any given point before we can see the Great Tribulation occur. Much less Jesus' return. This is a fact. So the next thing that we can see happen, the thing that should tip you off, you see, two different groups of people will be tipped off at different times. Those who are faithful will be tipped off when they see the Antichrist make the covenant with many of the Jews to rebuild that temple. The one he's going to set himself up in. and proclaim himself to be God. When he makes that covenant, that's what that covenant's going to be about. It's not a peace treaty. It's a covenant with Jews. And what do the Jews want to do? They want their own country fulfilled and Jerusalem returned, don't they? Fully to them. They want to rebuild their temple. That's the covenant he makes with them, to rebuild their temple. And in the middle of building it, what does he do? 3.5 years into it, he takes a seat in it and proclaims himself to be God. And until we see whoever it is that makes that covenant with them come on the scene, that's just when he comes on the scene. Until we see that happen, none of these other things can happen. So there goes the any moment return of Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus could return at any moment. No, he can't. The Bible says in two different places here, no, he can't. Till these things are fulfilled. And this isn't opinion. This isn't somebody's theology. This is straight from the scripture. In order. So don't be deceived. Amen? It's a good place to stop.